7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 71 of Color of Magic, your magic and gaming podcast, where we talk about all types of social issues around gaming and how they affect things. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and barely, almost didn't make it, but fighting through the winter snow for 71 episodes. Still in tow, Brian Allen, my co-host. How are you doing, dude?
I am here and not a cat. Yeah. Ready to move forward.
Dude, okay, since you brought it up, I gotta say, that to me was one of the funniest things I have ever seen, and I don't know why. I literally looked at that, and I couldn't stop giggling. Like, that point where you're giggling, your stomach hurts, and, like, I had to get up and walk away from my computer. Like, yeah, go ahead.
We've talked about this, you know, like, the difference between, like, you know, trying to be funny and somebody who is genuinely not trying to. This man is distressed. He is going through the worst, you know, 30 or 45 seconds of his life. But it's funny to the rest of us.
I think what's epic about it, right? Like, and I think you're right. It's a whole thing of, like, sometimes you can't write comedy that good, right? Mm-hmm. Real life just trips on it sometimes. But I'm watching this thing and realizing this dude, like, and this is, like, judges and prosecutors or whatever in the Zoom call. And I'm like, why is there a cat? And then the dude has to explain what's happening. And you can hear him, like, just being so sad. Yeah. He just feels defeated. It's like, I'm still here, but I'm not a cat.
Yeah. And I'm ready to move forward.
That was the epic part, right? Like, and I'm like, I'm willing to do this just as this damn cat filter. Let's do it.
Because you can tell he has nobody's idea what this is or how to turn this off. He probably just, this may be his first Zoom call. You know?
For real. For, like, if y'all haven't seen it, y'all need to go look it up. It's worth every second. It's only about, like, a 45, 60-second clip. It's not very long.
But it's the most enjoyable 45 seconds you will see today.
Really. Oh, my God. Like, I seriously giggled. So that thing brought me more smiles than anything in probably months. And it's so stupid. So stupid. Anyway, I want to remind everybody, if you would like to support the show, hit up patreon.com/colorofmagic. And for just $2, you can help us keep the lights on. Literally, in Brian's case, help keep the lights on right now. So
we appreciate it.
And, you know, you do get a handwritten postcard. I got some more out last week to Patreons, so that's very cool. And we also got out from our test run of playmats. The first ones went out to our top-level subscribers as well. So thank you so much for being supporters, everybody. If you'd like to support the show, check it out. It's patreon.com/colorofmagic. Also, we got our token art done. I want to point that out, too. So we'll have those available for people soon. Those will also go to our top level. And then we'll have a price. Once we figure out what it costs us to print them, we'll have a price set up. So if people want to buy tokens with me as a warrior and Brian as a flying spirit token, which, by the way, you look pretty dope in yours. You develop an awesome six-pack in the afternoon.
I was going to say, my wife wants to buy me armor and make me start working out now. So she wants to...
It's a cool
picture. She wants
picture.
The token to be hanging around the house.
Yeah, exactly. And credit to our friend, Galen Eilenfelt. You can find him at Art by Galen. He is on Twitch. He's got a YouTube channel. He's on Twitter. Great dude. Super nice guy. Fantastic artist in so many different types of medium. Really good dude. And we've known him for a long time, so it was cool to get to work on this with him. But if these go well, maybe we make some with each set for whatever the appropriate tokens are that the set makes. We'll see. Also, our sponsor we want to tell you about. If you're new around here, you may not have heard. If you have, you should be signed up on there. And if you're not, tell us why. But Cardsphere.com. They are super awesome. It's a great place to sell your cards, to find cards. It's, and I'll tell you this, too. I had a little snafu where, like, a couple of cards I had were, but I just sent out either the wrong ones or something. We had a little mix-up, and they took care of it. You know, and they just went back, basically mediated. Wasn't a problem at all. Went back and forth on a couple of messages. Everything's done. Right people got their money. I got my cards back in the mail. No problems. I don't know if you get that service on other sites, but I can tell you do get it over at Cardsphere.com. I am a walking testament. Like, even if they weren't sponsors of the show, I can still tell you for sure they have good service. Now, sadly, our sound effects box are down because our host updated their site this week. So, with the transfer.
And bad.
Yeah, exactly. Good and bad. So, we got to load those back up. But for now, we're just going to get right into the soapbox segment. And I have one that really annoyed me today. And okay, let me, and I may have talked about this before on the show, but the one time, and this is saying something, because there's been a bunch of times we have had crazy things happen to Black people in society that we have witnessed. But the one about 5 years ago, I believe it was, maybe four, where you had the orderly that was, that got shot, but he was laying down on the ground, hands raised, clearly communicating with the police officers that the person he was caring for was not carrying a weapon. He was sitting there with the fire truck, and the officer still shot him, right? And that to me was disturbing, because that was like, okay, the dude is a professional, a business professional, a medical professional at that. He's making sure the person he's caring for does not get killed because somebody called the cops on them. He's laying there prone, flat on the ground, arms in the air, clearly communicating, somehow still got shot, and cop didn't go to jail, didn't lose his job, right? Like, that bugged the hell out of me. But then this one, this week, kind of doubles down on that. Because we have this woman that I'm sure many of you saw the footage when it was live. I guess this would have been about 5 months ago or so now. But Miss Amy Cooper is her name. I can say it because it's public. It's out there. She's walking her dog, or actually should have been walking, just has her dog roaming around in this park. There's another gentleman, a Black gentleman, who happens to be a bird watcher. He tells the woman, hey, you need to leash your dogs. That's the rule for this park. And she's upset about it. Basically says she doesn't have to or whatever. He's like, well, you kind of need to. And what he does, apparently, is he carries some, like, dog treats. So if dogs are loose or whatever, he can at least get them calmed down or whatever. So he offers the dog a dog treat. Lady freaks out. Starts, like, literally dragging. If you see the video, she's literally dragging her dog around to yell at this Black dude. Like, the dog is, like, 2 feet off the ground. Because this is a little dog. It looks like it's, like, a Cocker Spaniel mix, right? Carrying it around, dragging it around, yelling at this dude. And the guy's just explaining the rules to her. He's recording the whole thing, by the way. This is all on camera. And then she takes her phone out and says, you know what? I'm going to call the police and I'm going to tell them there's a Black guy harassing me, trying to threaten me. And he's like, what? You know, she's like, I'm going to call him right now. And calls the cops and tells them, like, oh, this guy's threatening my life. You need to send help, blah, 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 right? Got no charges. Charges were dropped. Because she did a, what was it, a racial bias training course?
Yeah.
Like, the hell? Like, seriously. And I know this isn't the most gaming-centric thing, but when you think about, like, why people of color are uncomfortable in a lot of situations, and why we do and don't go certain places, and why we do and don't host certain events or do whatever, like, this is the crap that's why.
Yeah. Why, like, we have, don't go to our... go to a dog park. I mean, just random stuff.
Seriously. Seriously. Like, on camera, telling the dude straight up she's going to lie to the police officers. And nothing happened. Matter of fact, they even dropped, because there was actually animal cruelty charges against her as well, and they dropped those. So, and I'm like, I'm not trying to say she deserves life in prison or whatever, but like, even $1,000 fine would have been something.
Because again, imagine if you or I falsify charges on a white woman.
Oh, no, no way. No way. Like, like that, that's the stuff that just like frustrates the hell out of you. Like, zero charge, just dropped all the charges.
We got video evidence. There's she can't say she didn't do it. We got everybody in the world at this point, not everybody, but let's say anybody that wanted to see the evidence has seen the evidence.
And here's the other crappy part is when people have behavior like that and don't even care that you have a camera in their face, you know what that means? It means either one, they've done it before and gotten away with it, or two, they've been told this is what you do.
Yeah.
Like, one of those two things has to be true. Because what else makes you decide, you know what, I'm going to pick up this phone, I'm going to tell you I'm going to lie to the cops, and then I'm going to let you watch me do it. Like, that is so next level heinous.
Yeah, there's no way that's the first time she's done something like this. She was way too confident.
I mean, when was the last time, outside of maybe, like, I don't know, bluffing in poker or something, that you told somebody, like, okay, I'm going to do this effed up thing.
Right.
And then I'm going to watch you watch me do the effed up thing. Like, when? When does that ever happen? Like, ugh. I don't know. Like I said, that just really, like, just tripped me this week, because it's just like, how is that even possible? Like, so I'm not one to wish just bad things on people, but I'm just gonna say, if some bad things happened to her, then I'm, you know, she brought this on herself, because, like, you can't go around treating people like that. Like, you can't, like, a dude literally mind his own, just in the park, not even, yeah, you know, just like, man. And I told people, like, this is tough, because it's like, at what point, like, what can you do? You know, we've now seen two scenarios where, one, you know, they say, you know, be compliant, do all this, speak clearly, don't make any quick movements. Dude did that, got shot.
Yeah.
Somebody else says, well, you can't make X, you got to have evidence, you got to do this, blah, blah. Okay, dude explained everything, had it on camera, whole nine yards, didn't matter. So where's the line at now? And I've had friends that have said, like, oh, well, it's not a big deal. You know, we can go here and do this trade, or we can pick this thing up, or we can meet at this place. And I was like, no, we can't. Like, we can't. Like, there are many times I will make sure there is a witness to a lot of things, even if it seems stupid, because crap like this can happen. And then I'm just like, what do I do then? Like, yeah. I need at least somebody to corroborate a story. And it sounds dumb, but we've talked about it before. I've skipped events. I've not run certain things. I've not gone certain places for all types of reasons. So, like, I just bring that up to say, like, this type of stuff being out there is why you may have people of color around you that are gun shy to want to go do anything or participate in certain, or you're like, hey, we're at a convention, we're going to go to this after party, we're going to go do this thing. And sometimes they give you that look and you see that hesitation, and then they skip out on you. It ain't that we don't like you.
Yeah.
It's that we don't know everybody else. I mean, I've literally been at a party, hanging out at a friend's house. And I knew some other people that were showing up. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to bounce. Like, these people are going to be here in about 15 minutes. I don't need to be here when they show up. Because if something goes down, I don't even want to be present when police show up. If the neighbors call the cops because somebody's being too loud or whatever, like, I don't even want to be here. Because I know what that can... So I've literally had my entertainment wrecked because somebody wanted to be friends with somebody else who just acts stupid sometimes. And I'm like, nope, I'm out. Like, I just can't take the risk. But anyway, that's it. I'm off my soapbox. Like, I'm sure that's a bad way to start the show, but gosh damn it. You know, that was just...
It had to be said, though. It really did.
All right, Brian, what'd you learn last week?
All right. I was watching a very interesting documentary on Netflix, and I recommend it, called They Gotta Have Us, talking about all the hoops that black people have to go through to get their TV or their movie show to happen. And just Robert Townsend tells a great story about how, you know, he's in a soldier story. He's like, okay, he tells, I want to do more movies like that. And the guy tells him, Robert, they only make one black picture a year. You were in it. That's it. There aren't any more of those. I'll get you another pimp roll. You know?
Damn, just straight up told them there's one
That's going to be the only black movie this year. Sorry. That's all you get.
Damn, that's cold. Just like,
also, he kind of explained what he means when he says black movie. Because they give the example of, okay, 12 Years a Slave, Black Panther, and any Madea flick. These are all three completely different types of movies.
Yes.
If your girl says she wants to see Madea and you take her to 12 Years a Slave, she's going to be very upset with you because that's not the type of movie she wants to see. But as far as Hollywood is concerned, they are all the same type of movie. Black. Black is a movie genre as far as Hollywood is concerned.
So is that basically saying that, like, if you just have, like, a predominantly black cast, it's just classified as a black movie?
Basically, regardless of what genre it may, as I said, 12 Years a Slave, Madea, by many people, are considered to be the same type of movie when they have zero in common other than, as you said, a predominantly black cast.
Yeah, that's pretty effed up, because there's a bunch of movies that have a black cast that, like Coming to America is not Black Panther.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, those are completely different types of movies. Like,
12 Years a Slave is not, you know, The Color Purple. Really, it's two different types of movies.
And here's the messed up part, right? In both cases, neither is particularly, like, just about the black experience.
Right.
It just happens to be centered around the main characters being black.
Yeah.
Right? That's tough, man. That's tough. Sounds like a cool documentary, though. Where'd you find out about that?
I just happened to be scrolling through Netflix, you know, and of course, they have a black people category. You know?
Man, that's wild. That's wild. Well, as for what I learned this past week, and I feel like I bring this up about once every 4 or 5 months, but players still don't know what they want. Go figure. And I say this because I had a couple of different instances where people were talking about standard and saying, like, oh, well, this is one of the worst standards ever. And I'm like, how so? Please explain. Because right now, you can go and look at all the tournament results. And I've been looking at, like, the top 16s of multiple events where you've got sometimes, you know, 8, 9 different decks represented. You go back to back to back looking at big events and, you know, the winner might be mono white aggro, might be the Sultai ultimatum deck. It might be, you know, some other weird Yorian thing. There's Gruul still doing a thing with the adventures decks. There's Mono Red still making some top 8 appearances, right?
And how long have we been complaining about Mono White? So for that to be happening, come on. We're living the dream, right?
And not just that, there's like 3 different versions of it. So it's just like, what do you want, right? Like, I mean, you can play aggro, you can play mid-range, you can play like the pseudo combo-y style things. Like, there's all types of stuff. All different colors even are being played right now.
I know for a lot of people, it seems like standard not being good amounts to my pet deck won't work, basically.
And honestly, the players I asked, because they couldn't articulate it, eventually I got them down to basically admitting that. Of the exact, like, pinhole view of the way I want to play standard, I can't. So standard's terrible.
My dinosaur deck isn't crushing it.
Pretty much. I mean, that's it, though, right? Because I tell people, like, what more do you want out of the format? Like, are there a couple of powerful cards that may annoy you? Sure. But it's not like any of those cards are showing up in, like, 40% of the decks or anything.
Yeah, this is not an Omnath or Oko situation, because we just surely lived through that. You know, we remember.
Exactly. Well, I even had somebody in one of my YouTube comments say, like, oh, well, the Yorian decks, if you add all the different Yorian decks up, they represent as much of the field as the Wilderness Reclamation decks did. And I was like, that's not even remotely true.
No.
Wilderness Reclamation was regularly clocking in 40% plus of multiple tournaments. And then there was a couple of pro tournaments, it was like 60%.
Yeah, and then the finals would be Reclamation versus Reclamation.
Yeah, it's like, this is even close to the same. And when I went and looked, the best I could find was somewhere between a few events where it was like 25-ish% of the field. And it didn't represent any more of that than the top 8. And in multiples of those, the deck still only had like a 48% win percentage.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even a 50% deck in several of the events. So, like, how much can we complain about it, right? If a bunch of people show up with it, but they're not winning, do we care? Like, I don't know. Now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, if you play, you know, if there's 10 at the tournament and you just have the bad luck to play 5 of them, yeah, that sucks. You know, we get it.
Yeah, and that happens, right? I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. Even in that case, like, you might have been one of the people losing, and you keep running into them in the losers bracket effectively, right? Like, happens. But for the people to say, like, ah, this is the worst, I'm like, really? Can we not speak without hyperbole anymore? Like, the worst ever? This isn't even close. Like you said, let's rewind 60 days.
Yep.
You know, let's go talk about that. Like, that was pretty bad. Actually, not even 60 days. I guess we have to go further back because we have to get past Zendikar. We got to go back about 4 months, but still. It's I don't know. This feels good.
It's honestly not even called Blade, man. Really.
It's really not. It's really not. When we sit around and look at this and look back and say, man, you really can play a bunch of different decks. Like, even in Mythic right now, I'm playing different decks on stream every day. And none of them are like world beaters, but I'm getting to play against a bunch of different decks. I'm trying a bunch of different stuff. Like, you can't really want much more out of that. I think it's cool. So, but yeah, I think you're right. When a lot of those people, when I got them to narrow it down, it was like, well, this very particular thing I want isn't available. Like, I want, you know, a combo with like three cards in these colors that does this thing or whatever, and I can't play it because it sucks. Right? I can't play a good version of the deck that lets me give my opponent 9 lives and then I get rid of the 9 lives and they die or whatever, right? Like, yeah. some weird corner case thing they want to do, and it's like, yeah, okay, cool. But that's on you, right? I can't fix that. But at some point, you have to look around and say, look, if the majority of the community is happy about it, that means they're doing something right. So, yeah, players still can't figure it out. Like, they just, you know, complaining about them folded $20 bills. All right, so a serious issue, as if these weren't serious enough. I'm sure many of you that are listening to this, hopefully you're even able to listen to this.
Yeah.
Are dealing with some of this weather that's been hitting really everywhere, but, you know, around the Western Hemisphere for the most part. And it's tough. I mean, it's causing a lot of problems for a lot of people. It's causing a lot of issues even in gaming and with streamers and everything else. You know, I can say personally here, we got very lucky. Like, I've been dealing with stuff as far as like the house and our chickens and everything else. And we got about 9 to 12 inches of snow, depending on, you know, where you lived in the area because of elevation. And that only lasted, it came over the course of about the heavy part of it came about in the first 30 hours or so, and then kind of expanded over about 2.5 days is when we saw it. And we got very lucky. Temperature came up a couple days out to about 40 degrees, and it's kind of started to melt off. Still some around my yard, you can see it, but it's at least we can navigate, all right? We can function, we can get around. But the other part of that is it also happened in a place that we get cold weather up here. It's not massively cold, and it doesn't last a long time, but people know emergency measures to deal with snow or the cold, right? To make sure you got a camp stove available, have a little extra bottle of water or something, you know, have some flashlights available just in case, because it happened. Hell, up here in the Northwest, it happens sometimes when the wind gets too strong and knocks down a tree or two. So people are used to it. But down south where you're at, man, like, nobody's prepared for that. I've lived in that. Like, and this is why I tell people, like, it is hard to have a country as big as we do with people who don't live the same way. It is hard to communicate to that to people, because you know as well as I do, a few years back when they were having those rolling blackouts because, you know, the Northeast, and particularly I think New York, was having issues with everybody running their ACs during the summer. And that's the thing you do all the time in Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even think about it. But here we are on the other end of that. And, you know, the grid can't handle everybody running heaters all the time.
And see, you know, like, we would never be as prepared for cold weather as somebody in New York or Minnesota would. But had anybody told us, okay, our power grid is probably going to go down, you're going to lose power for 2 to 3 days, we'd have been more prepared than what we were.
That's also true. I feel
nobody would say that honestly until we were in the middle of it. The roads are not sanded. and the power is off. Oh, okay, you're going to be without power a couple of days. Okay, that would have been a great thing to know, you know, on the weekend when bad weather was coming, if everybody said, hey, if everybody, because they had to have some idea of how bad it was going to get, and they have to have, or I would had should have had some idea as to how antiquated our power grid was.
Yeah.
Even when things, you know, when generators started failing, and at that point they had to know, okay, yeah, this is going to be kind of bad. They're still like, well, okay, you know, there are probably going to be a bunch of blackouts Monday. At that point, I would think they should have known that, yeah, this is going to be there were, I think the count was already at 5 or 6 people dead before they admitted, okay, yeah, this is worse than we thought. This is, some of you are going to be without power for days.
Dude, I tell you, like, that's one of the things, and don't get me wrong, I don't think anything's close to perfect up here, but it's definitely one of the things I don't miss about being down in Texas is people not wanting to acknowledge reality. You know, and this is one of those cases where if people would have just said, hey, this is going to be dangerous for a lot of people. Yes, this is going to cost people money. Yes, it's going to be the same. Let's just let people know and get out in front of it.
Because, yeah, we had just bought groceries on Saturday. We didn't buy groceries like we were going to go to the store again because, again, Texas. We figured, yeah, it's a storm. We bought enough. Enough to get to the middle of the week. Because previously, the almost 20 years we've been here, we've never had an ice storm last for more than maybe 3 days.
Well, even beyond that, like, and you're in the trenches, so I mean, you can definitely speak to this better than I can, but the idea that you can tell somebody in Texas, like, oh, it's going to get cold, and you're like, okay, cool. Like, no, it's going to get really cold. Yeah, fine, whatever. No, it's going to get 9 degrees cold.
Yeah.
Right? 2 degrees is what I saw in some places. People, and then I heard somebody on my stream said that I guess the wind chill was like minus 15 or something.
Yeah, it was insane.
Like that never, I can't even remember a time it was even close to that when I lived down there.
Last time I remember that, it wasn't Texas. I was still in Louisiana and it got down to about 0. And I think I was 6 or 7. So that's, hey, that's been 40 years roughly is the last time I remember anything like that happening.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. It's
almost a generational type storm, really.
And this is one of those crazy things because I still have friends, family, whatever down there that I'm assuming they're okay. You know what I mean? Like some people haven't had power forever. Their phones have run out of juice or whatever. Like I really don't know.
Crazy. We've been just, you know, for background, we've been doing the rolling blackouts where, you know, power is on for somewhere between 40 minutes to 2 hours. It's never the same. Sometimes 40 minutes, sometimes it's 2 or 3 hours. So far, we've had power for most of the day today, but they said that another storm is coming. So it's not guaranteed that they will have to do it again at some point. And we're among the lucky ones. Some people have not had power since, you know, middle of the day Sunday.
Well, some people haven't had water.
Yeah, power, water.
That's the crazy part.
People's pipes have ruptured. I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, this is the type of stuff I feel like. Obviously, maybe you can't prepare for it because it's an all-time crazy storm. But you could at least warn people so as individuals, they could at least be somewhat better prepared. Even if it was just like, you know, making sure you had some extra potable water from your water heater or something.
Exactly.
For, you know, you fill up a few jugs or something. So you're not saying you got to run to the store and wipe the stores out or whatever, but like, you know, maybe they would have wrapped their pipes a little better with some spare blankets or something. Or maybe they would have made sure they had their little camp stove set up or something, you know.
And, you know, with our leaders and nowadays, there's a tweet for everything. I'm sure you've seen everybody dragging Ted Cruz for him trying to dunk on California. Oh, look, California can't even supply the basics of civilization. And lo and behold.
Yeah.
Here we are in the exact same situation, just cold instead of heat, tripping all our breakers and things.
Yeah, it's a wild time, man. And
our governor's on TV saying, well, this is what would happen if you implement the Green New Deal. No, this has nothing to do. It's a policy you haven't implemented yet.
No, I tried to read up on that, and there is layers of layers. Honestly, to me, at the end of it, I was just like, why is electricity privatized? Why are any of the utilities privatized?
Exactly.
Hell, including internet. Internet shouldn't be privatized. Like, it's basically a utility at this point. Like, just reading through that and seeing the silliness of different companies having to charge each other different amounts on the grids and blah, blah. It's like, why? Why are we even doing that?
Like, there's no reason. Where our former governor, Rick Perry, said, you know, of course, they've asked him about, hey, why not regulation? He said Texans would rather endure a few days of darkness than deal with the federal government messing with their power. I don't think.
You know what? He says that, and I tell him, explain that to all those people that are going to have dead relatives in a hospital or a nursing home that lost power. Or people who, hell, I don't know, may, probably can't even, their medicine if it has to be refrigerated.
People on oxygen and things like that.
Yeah.
That have, like, have some machine in their house that keeps them alive.
Like, come on, dude. Or even just the repairs. Like you said, some pipes have ruptured or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's going to be super expensive for people to try to fix in some cases.
And that's not just homes. People, that's having to get people's businesses that are already, you know, going through the COVID situation.
And like I said, I've been following people on social media that, you know, different content creators, site operators, whatever, and we're seeing it affect a lot of things. I've seen a lot of sites posting things like, hey, we're just going to be down, you know, indefinitely till this passes. You know, even up here, you know, Card Kingdom was, hey, there's going to be delays with orders going out. Like, just everybody's, you know, another streamer, Frisk, which I think you follow as well. Like, she's been basically chronicling the whole thing, literally having to get on for like 2 minutes at a time, post a couple of pictures, and then turn her phone off to conserve power because she's not able to stream and just trying to keep her community updated. Like, and it's just sad to watch. I mean, she's enduring it. You know, she's a trooper.
Since we met, I was going to say Frisk is awesome. If you don't follow her or watch her, I highly recommend you do. Frisk is awesome.
I'll be honest. Like, if there's somebody that could make me jealous, it's probably her. Like, she just feel like she won the lottery to be a social creator. Like, she looks good in every picture. Like, she can sing. She's funny. Like,
she has all the talents.
Yeah, I'm just like, gosh damn, that ain't even fair. It's like, as a dude, when you look at somebody like John Cena, and you're like, all right, he's a big muscle meathead. And then you're like, oh, he also taught himself, like, Mandarin and how to play the piano. And he's funny. And he can act. And it's like, gosh damn it. like, come on, man. Like, leave something for the rest of us. Right? But yeah, seriously, watching her go through this has been very tough when, you know, she's even saying, she's trying to direct people like, hey, if you need to send me a message, send it in DMs because, you know, actual tweet posts take too long to load and I'm only going to have my phone on for a short amount of time, right? She's trying to figure ways to conserve stuff. It's just, you know, even every level of society is affected by this. Yeah, and especially us, we're just lucky right now. There were no major, like, in-person events or championship tournaments or any of that stuff out there because those would all be straight canceled or people might have been stranded at the airports or whatever. You know, that's possible. People could have for real been on their way to some championship, whether that's League of Legends, some Magic Arena thing, whatever. And at the end of the day, they wouldn't even have been able to get home. That would have been wild. You know, and I think people don't realize that. There was I still remember when 9/11 happened and people were traveling back from a Magic tournament and they got grounded because they didn't have any planes in the air. So, you know, this would be that.
What's going on?
Infinitely worse than that is from a travel standpoint. And where you were, you probably wouldn't even have power.
I should also mention some people are gouging. I'm hearing about hotels and not good hotels charging $400 a night, you know, because everybody, once they realized how long it was going to be, was trying to check into a hotel if they could get to one.
Yeah, that's terrible. There needs to be some laws to prevent that. Like,
there's, you know, I think there are supposed to be, but
anything more than like 25 to 50% more than normal in an emergency situation, like that's just like you're just a bad human being at that point.
Yeah.
I'm cool. I get it. Like, there's a supply demand. Like, you can't just let everybody in, whatever. That's cool. But, like, you know, when you're 4 and 5 times normal price, like, come on. Really? When people are trying to protect their families, their kids, the elderly, whatever. And,
people,
you know,
are
hell,
quite literally dying in the streets.
Yeah. Like, I don't get it. Like, it's just tough to see that happening to people. But, you know, I'm glad you're doing okay. I'm glad your family's making it. It's just rough, man. It's just rough to see that for people. And like I said, I want to say this. If you don't know where your favorite streamer, creator, website, whatever, is based in or resides, just be patient right now. They may be being affected by this weather. Because some parts of the storm, from what I understand, did some damage up in Canada, too.
No.
So just be patient. Like, don't send people harassing messages. Don't send them like, hey, how come you haven't been streaming? But like, everybody, if nothing else, some people may just be worried about family or helping other people or whatever. So
don't ever harass people about why they're not streaming, to be honest.
Well, that's true. We shouldn't be doing that anyway. But just be chill right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. And it may not even be directly with them. I've spent time this week trying to communicate with people, making sure people knew other people were okay. Yeah. You know, like, just let it ride for a little bit, man. Like, this is a crazy time, unprecedented for a lot of reasons in a lot of places. Let's just help people get through it. They can share their peace or whatever they want to later. But there's bigger things right now other than our personal entertainment.
We'll have plenty of videos soon on probably both of our channels, believe me.
Sure, no doubt. All right.
You're going to have an airing of grievances.
Since people have asked, and it's come up, and I'm going to do a longer video on this, by the way, probably tomorrow or the next day on my YouTube channel. But we finally got to see all the cards for the Black is Magic Secret Lair. How do you feel about it now? Everything from the name to seeing all the cards, you know, just all about it. How does it hit you now that we've seen the full package?
These are really some pretty cards, some great images. Another wonderful card with Teferi and his family. Please don't be jerks about it out there.
Yeah, for me, and like I said, I can spend forever talking about this, but like, I've had people asking me, like, doesn't this bother you from, like, an appropriation standpoint or profiteering, or doesn't the name bother you, blah, blah. I'm like, what? Are we just nitpicking to be mad? Like, they're taking... Okay, first, look, let me say this, right? This is going to go to a very good charity.
Yeah.
To begin with. And the way I read this is Wizards isn't even keeping money from this. Basically, it sounds like, if not all, the majority of the profits are going to go to this charity. So that in and of itself is already big. So we can only be so mad about that. You know what I mean? And then we look at the cards and it's like, these are gorgeous.
Right?
It's cool getting the different art styles. It's cool just having the different depictions. They even have little narratives. The flavor text on them are very good. The Soul Ring was insane. Like, that thing was awesome. It's just like, what is there to be mad? I honestly, and let's be honest, I thought the last two cards were going to be a red and a black card. Because we had a white one, a blue one, a green one, a two gold color ones, a blue white and a black white. So I was like, okay, obviously the last two are going to be red and black. And I'm kind of interested. The only question I have is, like, did they avoid that to just stay out of trouble? Just saying, hey, there's some people that might take it the wrong way, or we don't feel we can do a good depiction of a certain thing. Let's just do a different selection of colors and cards and then be as unoffensive as possible. If so, is this kind of what we get whenever you have the proper people paying attention to things and thinking about things? I don't really know. But I do know the final product is really cool.
Yeah, and we say all the time, look, there's plenty of things that happen out there, Magic and other places of gaming, that we hate, and we'll let you know. But we really, they've done a really good job here. I got nothing to be mad at.
Not only that, like, it's a 7-card secret lair, which we don't get a ton of those. And it's not priced any higher. It's $39 if you want the non-foil, $49 if you want the foil one. So they're giving you more cards than the average secret lair. They're not charging any more for it. And the majority of the money is going to the charity. Like, great. Like, this is a good product. Like, what are we going to be mad about?
I mean, as per our example, I think we both hated, you know, the Walking Dead, or just not even hated, just had no desire to have a Walking Dead secret lair, and both kind of went off on it. But
and the
we other got thing, no beef here.
Exactly. Yeah, I will say this though: the other thing I like about this is that the selections were so good that everybody wants to own this.
Yeah.
So it's not like they just chose cards. They're like, okay, well, these are okay, and we could put some art on them, whatever. These are the probably the least interesting of them might be Shalai, the Angel, but people even still like that card.
Yeah.
So it's like, great. People actually want this and want to play with the cards. That makes it even better. So it increases the odds of these cards actually being seen, which is important. I just hope the artists they chose get to do more projects in the future, because there's a lot of cool pieces in here. Like some art style that I'm not even totally sure I would have associated with Magic or card games, or that I even thought about I'd want to see. But it's kind of cool. I mean, I'd be down for it. Like if they brought any of these artists back to do two or three cards, you know, in a future set, I think it'd be great. But yeah, I'm digging it. I'm on board. I'm going to definitely pick up at least one, maybe more than one. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that Soul Ring, I'm gonna have to buy at least two, because one's getting open.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to open one and play with some of the cards. I'm just going to say that right now. Like, if you're worried about collector's value, yours is going to go up at least some percentage, because I'm cracking one of them. Like, these are the things I want to be played. I want them to be seen. I want them in decks. Like, yeah, I'm definitely a fan. No real complaints from me on this one. Like it would, I think if somebody was going to, like, I don't even know what I would do to make this particular set better. Other than, like I said, maybe find a way to include every color. That would have been about it. But I can see why potentially those colors were skipped. And we technically have a black card because we have Kaya, who's black white. So we just don't have a red card really. So yeah, I'm in. I don't know. People can just, people want to be mad. I get it. People have different reasons. But this to me is just a great, great product. I really think so. And that brings us to another bit of news that happened, which was pretty big. We had quite the banning that happened this week on Monday. Arguably one of the, actually, I was going to say the biggest. I think it might have been the second biggest banning that's ever happened. But either way, it was a lot. So I guess I'll just ask you, Brian, like, how did you feel after you saw that list of stuff?
I'm like, man, I lose power for a couple of days, and they bring out the Titan-sized ban hammer.
Oh, that's true. I guess you didn't have power to even know it happened when it happened.
I mean, I did get to see it, and you know, that's what I tell you. Like, as a content creator, like fracking, need to make a video. So that's the first. But again, I agree with them. These are cards that, you know, were obviously problematic in standard and I guess pretty much every format. So it's no surprises, I don't think.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing, right? When we're looking at all the different formats. And they left standard alone, which is fine. I mean, like we talked about, I think standard's in a good place right now.
Yeah. Until I guess if anything surprises me, maybe, okay, yeah, Ugin still out there.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I don't like Ugin as a card. Just because when you play with it, it doesn't feel like it creates interesting decisions. Right? Most of the Planeswalkers, I feel like, okay, well, do I plus or do I minus? Because there's this ability and there's other thing. Like, with Ugin, I always feel like, okay, I kind of just know what I'm going to do with this card.
Yep. And you know what your opponent's going to do.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't feel like an interesting Magic card to me. That being said, it's not in a ton of decks that are doing well right now.
That is true.
Like, even the Emergent Ultimatum decks can't play it because Emergent Ultimatum can only get monocolor cards. So they just don't even play Ugin. So it's kind of interesting. Like, and even now, I think I've only had Ugin in one or two of the recent decks I've tried putting together. So, I mean, it's a powerful card, and it's annoying when you run into it, but it's not like it's in every deck. It's not even in any top tier deck right now, I don't think. Yeah. So, I get it. Now, don't get me wrong. Could we remove a bunch of cards? Like, sure. I don't know if that particularly makes things better or not, though. Like, if we took away, because I know some people said, like, well, I would have rather seen, like, Ugin, Embercleave, Great Hinge, blah, blah. Like, okay, but then what does the format look like? Like, if we take out, let's just say we take away Embercleave, do red decks have a realistic shot without an Embercleave on a regular basis? Like, maybe? But do we even really need to find out? Right? If the format's balanced and people are having fun and we're getting a diverse finish of top 16 decks and whatever, great. To me, and there's a saying I like to give people sometimes, it's just, don't let perfect be the enemy of good.
Yeah.
Right? If things are working and things are functioning and everybody's happy or whatever, don't get in there and start just messing with stuff for the sake of messing with it. Like, there's no point. Like, I get it. You could it be better? Sure. Damn near everything could be at least some level better. But at some point, you just say, okay, we've reached a really good point. Let's just enjoy this for a while. And with the other formats, they just needed shakeups, right? Because they're already having a hard time getting people to play some of those formats every once in a while because, you know, the only way to play some of them is on Magic Online right now. If you're talking about, like, modern Pioneer, stuff like that, there's just not a ton of events happening. And when they are, if they're super depressive and people don't want to play in them, like, then that could landslide those formats decline faster than it needs to. So you don't want that.
Because Pioneer's been in a hard spot pretty much since it launched. We're just having to launch during a time in which more cards have been banned than any time in recent memory. So
even beyond that, Pioneer just started getting its feet under it, and then the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, well, there goes that, you know. So you got to do what you can right now to keep interest at least as high as you can in those formats and let it work itself out over the next few months while we try to get back to whatever the new normal is going to be. You know, so I don't fault that. I will say a couple of the formats I haven't been playing a lot of, you know, especially not Vintage when we're talking about, like, Legacy, you know. But I talked to people who did, and they were like, yeah, these seem good. Now, some of them are like, yeah, I would have also liked XYZ. Everybody has their own opinions. But overwhelmingly, people were positive about this. So I'm good with it. You know, I think whoever was involved with making these decisions at Wizards at least got most of the important parts. And I've seen more people this week even just experimenting with different deck lists and everything with the new banning. So it's at least got people invigorated to at least do some level of brewing. Now, what comes of it, I don't know. But people at least seem happy. That's all you can hope for right now. If you can, especially right now, as many bad things have happened in the world in the last year,
yeah.
If you can do something like this and people are positive and happy, you got to take that as a win. But all right, we don't have our dishes being brought to the table. Yeah, exactly.
I thought I had dishes, and then there's paper. Yeah, they're paper plates.
I can jingle some keys or something against my desk. One of the things we want to talk about is just trying to figure the right way to, like, frame this, because I don't want us to just come off as just, like, I don't know, crotchety old angry blind
yelling at cloud.
Yeah, but, you know, when we sit and we have these discussions between us or with other content creators of color, we'll say, and then you see people that are making content, whether that's stream, YouTube videos, Twitter posts, whatever, that are getting tons of interactions, tons of views, you know, posting up videos that are getting 20,000 views in 5 hours, 10 hours. And then you see the videos or the streams or whatever that are getting this type of activity, and there's misogynistic comments, insulting their viewers, you know, talking crap about the cards and the company, and hell, not just that, like, making terrible plays, and just the list goes on and on, right? And then you realize they're all white. It starts to hurt because I can't tell you the number of times I have had people come to a YouTube video and leave a comment complaining about, hell, not even just complaining about some misplay or something I made, which, by the way, didn't even affect the game half the time. You still win, but they're going to nitpick that thing. Or complain about your opponents doing something, like you can control them. Or you just want to nitpick whatever, right? But then when you find out, you go look and they're like, oh, but you're a subscriber to this other person who also does those things. Hell, I've had people come on because I was testing a deck to just see if it even worked. And I'm like playing in the play queue. And they're like, well, I don't know why you don't play this in ranked. And I'm like, I'm not going to name names, but then there's other channels that all they're doing is playing in the play queue and they're still getting, 50,000 views on a video. And it's like, so why are you coming and attacking me? And I know, and I've looked, I've done the research. Like, I have seen where some of these people are followers and subscribers of these other channels on Twitch and on YouTube and whatever, or follow these other people on Twitter. So we can't say that's like, oh, well, you treat everybody that way, or you don't follow other people that don't do these things, or you don't subscribe to channels where this isn't the behavior, because that's not what's going on. Like, and there's people of various underrepresented groups that I've watched, and we've talked about before on the show, that are straight killing it. And you see how much they are struggling just to get somebody to look at it.
Yep.
But then you see these other people doing terrible work, sending terrible messages publicly, being honestly pretty bad human beings, but yet they get to see their numbers continue to skyrocket. And I haven't, feel free to point them out to me. And I genuinely mean that. If you're in our Discord, if you want to shoot me a message on Twitter, whatever, feel free to point out to me the people of color you're finding that fit this bill. But I don't see very many of them. I can maybe think of one that I know of off the top of my head. But the others have a severe lack of melanin. And I don't know if it's the same thing for you, Brian, but that's definitely something I've been seeing. And it's hard to quantify for people who don't see it from that angle.
It's not just, it's certainly not just gaming content. I mean, you obviously couldn't have planned this, but we were having this discussion on the day that Rush Limbaugh died. I mean, there is, I hate to say it, I think there's always going to be a market for people who just cater to, vulgarity, do the push below the belt, having worked in some form of this industry for about 20 years at this point, I feel like I see more of these people succeed than I see fail.
And I think that's the hard part, right? It's not even their success that bothers me. It's that when I see the people that are either A, trying to correct my behavior or that of other underrepresented people. I'm going to use myself as the example. But doing that and then seeing who you do support and follow, because that's tough. Or you come around saying, oh, I want to support you. I want the community to be better. I want it to be more diverse. I want people to treat everybody equally, and I want us to be better, and I don't want us to be looked at as terrible and whatever. But then you're going giving time, money, whatever to these other people. Like, you're trying to have it both ways or speak out both sides of your mouth. Like, you, if you're, and thing is, here's the thing that's really, and this is the part I get upset about, because I've told you before, even when I had my store, right, I expect shoplifters are going to try to steal from me, right? Because bad people do bad things, right? That's what you expect. I was always insulted when you didn't make a real effort. Because now you're just saying I'm dumb. And you just don't think I care enough and I'm not going to catch you. And that's sort of what I feel like here, right? When you make those statements to a woman, a person of color, a disabled person, whatever, that you want things to be better for them. You want more of them to be represented. You think they have not been given an equal treatment, all that stuff, right? But then you're out here supporting these other people doing and saying these things. Like, I know there are multiple prominent Magic creators, but gaming creators, actually, because I can think of a couple more too, that are out there that literally full of hateful comments and dumb behavior.
Heck, not only creators. I mean, it's, you know, look, it's one thing if you're, you know, trying to be like, you know, somebody like for lack of a better, for lack of a better name, I guess PewDiePie. If you were trying to go for shock value, and the argument is you're playing a character. I wrote a piece for Cardsphere about how the whole situation we had with the art on the Teferi card and people making all these terrible jokes, you know, about, well, essentially about joking about murdering a black child in all sorts of horrible ways. And they try to, I'm not talking one or two people who came to the defense of the people making jokes about murdering a black child. We're talking, they had to tamp down hundreds of comments in defense of jokes about child murder.
Yeah, I totally believe it.
No, you're not trying to launch a channel. You're not trying to do satire. You're, you know, if you're just on the forum with your buddies, you're just being, you know, you're just being an ass, basically.
And that's the hard part for me, is that people that do that and have that behavior, like, you're assuming we're not going to see the rest of your behavior. Right? Like, you're going to come and say, like, oh, no, I support you, and you know, I think Black Lives Matter, and I think women deserve equal treatment and representation and blah, blah, and all this. But then you go and do these other things. That's you telling us indirectly that you don't think we're smart enough to know what you're doing. Like, I'd rather you just not say anything. Like, don't just lie to me. Because we can see who you follow.
Yep.
We can see who you're subscribed to on YouTube. We can see whose channel you're chatting in on Twitch. Like, that's out there. Like, we all do. Anybody who's worth their salt or trying to work hard, which we have to if we want to get to that level, we're doing our work. We're doing our research. Hell, there's accidental times I've come across people when I wasn't even trying to.
Yeah.
And those are the ones you're like, dude, weren't you one of the people that was, you know, I'm going back through my messages like, okay, so you were a supporter. All right, cool. Well, now I know where you stand. You know, so if you ever wonder why you magically might get a cold shoulder, or we don't want to collaborate with you, or we don't want to be on your show, or doing whatever, like, not saying that that's the reason, but I'm saying it might be the reason. You might want to check yourself a little bit. Because we're paying attention. But it's tough, like I said, when you see these other people having this success, and you have all these people that say they want it to change, and they want things to be better, but then you see that behavior from them just the same. And it's like, cool, you can choose to not support these other people. Hell, some that I know for a fact have outright lied to their communities. Even been caught in lies to their communities. People don't care. When we're over here, especially me, like, I try to double check things just to minimize the crap I'm going to have to deal with if I do misspeak. And at least if I did it, it wouldn't have been intentional. Whereas when I know for a fact, at least one of these other people did it, and it was specifically to profit from it. Like, that's the part that makes this whole process difficult. You know, when I have people say, oh, your show's so great, and, you know, your podcast, one of those things, everybody should listen to them. I'm like, cool. Then why have you not retweeted a damn thing we've ever posted? But I see you retweeting all this other garbage these three or four other people are putting up. Like, you can tell us how great we are. But if you're not trying to help more people see how great we are, and you're supporting other people that are basically the opposite of what we are, well, that tells us where you stand. It's just lip service at that point. And there's no other way to couch it. Like, you can call it whatever you want, say whatever you want, but, like, That's literally what it is. The same way that if I say, like, you know what? Women do deserve to be better treated and everything else. And we need to have more people watching their YouTube stuff, reading their articles, watching their Twitch streams, you know, following them on Facebook and social media or whatever. But then I'm only ever out there sharing stuff from other dudes. I'm only inviting guys to be, you know, to work on projects with me on stuff. Then my words are worthless. Because I can say I want women to be, their levels to be brought up. But if I'm not doing anything that supports them or sharing their stuff, where, then what good is the words if there's no actions? Or worse, I'm out here elevating these dudes that I've seen making these misogynistic comments and stuff constantly. That's like a slap in the face to the women.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I mean, again, it's just people have to assume that you're just going to be too dumb to see it. Because what they say about honor, it's how you have the behavior and what you're doing when you think nobody's looking. You know, that's where your integrity really comes from. We can all say the right thing and do the right thing when we're talking to somebody or we think somebody's watching or recording. But what is your behavior like? What do you support? What do you do when it's just you in your room and your phone or your computer or whatever? That's what we really need to ask ourselves. All right, Brian, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
Okay, I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Our family channel is Alan's Ever After on YouTube.
And as always, you can find me at Power Dragon, PowerDragn, streaming on Facebook and Twitch these days, YouTube videos every day. And also, I put up a new video on my Power Dragon Outdoors channel you can check out, where I talk about how I helped deal with the moisture with our chickens. I know people apparently love knowing I have chickens and want to go watch that. As usual, wherever you're watching, whenever you're watching, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Please remember to wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans, and let's get back to gaming and gathering sooner rather than later.
If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.